O Lord, help us to commence with hymn 993. O Zion, afflicted with wave upon wave, whom no man can comfort, whom no man can save, with darkness surrounded, by terrors dismayed, in toiling and rowing thy strength is decayed. 993.
Thank you. Let us read together for our instruction from the Book of Psalms, reading Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Threaten not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. The sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be for ever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell for evermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved for ever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein for ever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The Lord of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exhort thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yet I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. The Lord bless that portion of his holy word and help us to pray. Merciful and gracious Lord, we seek now again to call upon thy holy name. And as we come, Lord, we do desire of thee that thou wilt hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place, to bow down thine ear to our cry, and to regard us, though we are not worthy of the least of thy favours. And yet, Lord, thy mercy is such that it will come to the vilest, the poorest, the most wretched of sinners. And therefore we have that hope. This so be, thou wilt hear us. Oh, pardon us, Lord, of our many sins. Blot out our transgressions, so that we may not appear before thee in such wretchedness. And yet, Lord, we read that our sins are set in the light of thy countenance, and thou canst not look upon sin. And yet, O Lord, thou hast looked upon many a poor sinner, and thou hast lifted them up as the beggars from the dunghill, and set them among princes, and given them the change of raiment, and granted them that garment of needlework, the work of thine own hand. Oh, we pray that we may be considered in thy sight, and therefore we venture. Thou didst speak of thy a bride, the church, is all glorious within. But Lord, thou knowest how we cannot boast of any goodness in our own selves. And much seems at times to be dark. And when we cannot feel as we would, when we feel, O Lord, that thou dost stand afar off, when we cry and shout, and all our cry he shutteth out, when we, O Lord, are brought into that place of darkness and not into light. And we feel like the one, Job, who spoke as though thou hadst become his enemy. And when, O Lord, we feel that we are those that have seen affliction and seen that which has brought us very low. But, Lord, we do know there is lifting up with thee. We know that thou canst revive and restore. And thou, O Lord, canst draw us with thy loving kindness and reveal to us thy tender mercies. And if for a small moment as it is in thy book, that thou dost hide thy face, yet it is with those marks and evidences of thy infinite love that thou canst draw again. Oh, do therefore come. May we feel a sense of thy pardoning love. May we know, O Lord, thy great goodness, that we may testify of it. Lord, when we ask for these things, it is not that we do not consider thee as being great in thy goodness, nor that we have not known something of it. We trust we have. But when all seems to be dark again, we then begin to question. O Lord, do pardon us of these doubts. Remove our fears. Speak comfort to our souls. And grant us the light of thy countenance to rise upon us. We would thank thee for the many mercies which we daily receive. And we would thank thee that still there is a throne of grace. And the scepter has not been removed, but still we may seek by faith to touch and to find access at the throne of thy grace. And Lord, it is our mercy that that way has been made so that we may have access. And may we therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. And may we ask for those things which thou art pleased to give. Lord, we ask for an increase in faith. We ask for the gracious Spirit to teach us and to lead us in that way which leadeth unto life everlasting. Lord, we need thee to search our hearts and to try us, and yet we tremble to ask it, realizing what the consequences may be. We may find ourselves passing through the deep waters. But Lord, may we prove that thou in thy searching dost then bring us to know that way of righteousness, and that when thou hast tried us, we may come forth as gold. We pray that thou wilt be mindful and merciful unto this people. Lord, we would thank thee for thy mercies to them, and we do seek that there may be still the evidences of thy goodness. We pray that we may see thy work appear to thy servants and to thy and to their children, that there might be the bringing in and the building up, that it may be made evident amongst them that there are those who know that good work having been begun, and can therefore testify of those things, and to give an answer to the inquirer as to how it is with them. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt yet work in Zion. We see, Lord, such desolations on every hand, and many of the causes are growing few, and we see old sheep taken off each year, and a few lambs in the fold appear. And yet, O Lord, thine arm is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is thine ear heavy that it cannot hear. Hear us, we beseech thee. O do, Lord, arise, scatter the enemies. Lord, in mercy, do revive us again, we pray. And so we ask, that thou wilt be mindful of us and bless us. And Lord, may we prove that there is nothing that we lack. Lord, thou didst say to thy disciples, lack ye anything? And they had to say nothing. Oh, for mercies countless as the sand, which daily we receive from God our dear Redeemer's hands. My soul, what canst thou give? Lord, we pray that there may be those that feel that and are brought to heed the thought of the psalmist, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and pay my vows, or that there may be therefore that gracious desire wrought in the heart to testify of thy love and mercy. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt be very gracious to our friend in the desk and help him in the hymns that he may yet choose or have chosen. There may be that blending that spirit, that one spirit failed to know. And yet, as we did remark this morning, it is not always so. Yet, what may be a blessing for one, the other may be a blessing for another. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt thus bless according to thy goodness. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt be mindful of those that are not able to gather, that are the young ones, the babes in arms. Oh, we would remember them. They have never dying souls. Could it please thee, Lord, to even work that work in their hearts at an early age, to be an unctuous light to all that's right and a bar to that which is wrong? Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant the parents much wisdom and grace, to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And as some may be fulfilling their parental responsibilities, yet, Lord, may they find there is many a lesson to be learned from the child. Oh, Lord, we have those things set before us. When the babe sucks the breast, oh, then to suck those breasts of consolation and find in thy word the sincere milk of truth. Lord, indeed it is there. Oh, that it might be drawn out, and thus feed us, that we may be built up and nurtured in that grace. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant thy blessing to those in their old age who in infirmity are unable to gather. We will commend them to thee and do be with them where they are. We would desire to remember, O Lord, those who are in bereavement, and we see that they may be sustained at this time. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt give them the comforts, that they do not sorrow as those without hope, but knowing this, that not only the one that has been removed from the present scene is now enjoying the blessings which we trust is their desire also when they have run their course, then may it be that they have that good hope indeed through grace for themselves. And now, Lord, Zion travails, and oh, that there may be the bringing forth of yet those numbers that will grant and give us a gracious increase amongst the churches. Do, Lord, hear us then, and regard our cries. We do, Lord, desire that thou wilt send forth labourers. Oh, how we see many are either laid aside or increased in age. And, Lord, we need therefore those sent forth into the work who may bear some of the burden, and oh, to be faithful in that work. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt therefore grant that labourers may bring forth the sheaves, having sown with tears the sheaves with rejoicing. We do desire, Lord, that there may be the blessing known and the benefits realised. Now, Lord, we will not multiply words before thee. Thou knowest, Lord, how we feel. So often we feel our own insufficiency, but thou art the all-sufficient God. Help us, Lord, to lean upon thee and thee alone. Now do pardon us of every sin, and what we've uttered amiss, forgive. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1029. Come, Saviour, quickly come. Let me but feel thee near. I am a poor wanderer far from home, pursued by guilt and fear. 1029.
The Lord may be pleased to help me. I would again direct your attention to the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 1 and the 6th verse. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The first Today the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, the first chapter and the sixth verse. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The apostle, in writing this to these Philippians, was seeking to encourage them. And he, having that spirit given of God, whereby he might be able to weigh up the matters with them, and not only with these Philippians, but what was written also for the Church of God down through the ages. And we may take encouragement from these words, whatever the day may be, dark and cloudy, and given to much concern as to how it is. Yet these things they cannot alter. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. And therefore it is the confidence of the people of God that the Lord's work shall be done. And it will be seen in the gathering in of the dead elect, those that the Lord has a purpose towards. The time will come when they will be made manifest, when his work shall appear unto them, when they will have to leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold and enter in, when they shall have to confess before God of their great wickedness and sin. The time that the Lord has purposed, when real repentance is given. And oh, what a gift it is, a godly sorrow over our sin that is not to be found in our nature. Man makes excuse. Man seeks to vindicate himself. Man's desire is to escape from the censures that may be upon him. But to fall at the footstool of mercy and to plead forgiveness, that is the work of God. And what a mercy it is if we are brought to plead forgiveness, not merely to escape judgment. No, one may perhaps use such means if it thinks it will escape from what is due. But rather, we will find that we have to plead for pardon because we have offended against one who has condescended and stooped so low to evidence mercy upon one so vile. And that will break the heart. We sometimes sing that law and judgments is not quite right, but that will convey what I want to say. Do but harden. all the while they work alone. And how that is often proved. We see that those are things that are sent upon men. And we may say it is a judgment. But where do we see the repentance? But when the Lord gives us a sense of mercy, when he brings us to have a view of what Christ has done to save our souls, that is a good work. The good work which brings us to the cross, brings us to see by faith how we have wounded him. What a question we have in the prophecy. What are these wounds in thy hands? These are they that I have received from the house of my friends. And when we consider that word that the Lord spake unto his disciples, as recorded by John, oh, how blessed they are when he spake such things. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. What brought Peter to do what his Lord commanded? When he himself, left to himself, but deny his Lord and say, I know not the man. It was that saving look. The Lord looked upon Peter. It broke his heart. As the Lord looked upon you, have you known that sense of utter wretchedness for having so grieved him? Oh, then, to know that true spirit of contrition, Peter, he went out and wept bitterly. And what will be the effect when we, with doubting Thomas, say, I will not believe, except there is something that we may say is to be considered with Thomas's confession. There was one thing that Thomas wanted. He wanted reality. And he wanted to be certain. He wanted to be sure. But that did not excuse his doubt. And we need to weigh these things up. No, we do not want just a religion based upon hearsay. We want these things to be known. But, oh, how we might plead that the Lord will make it known to us. And he did to dear Thomas. He came and, taking his own words, he exhorted him to put his finger into the print of the nails and to thrust his hand into his side and to be no more faithless. That was enough for Thomas. my Lord and my God. Ah, with such a sweet and blessed revelation, then we stand wholly convinced. We are convinced that he that begins a good work will perform it, because he went to the end of the law for righteousness. There's nothing more to add. Not all that you may do can save your soul when it's saved. Blessed be his name if he has plucked you as a burr, as a brand from the fire. Just think for a moment of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. There he is seen in all his filthy garments. And Satan at his right hand to resist him. And with such accusations that Satan may make. And sometimes you will find that Satan will be very ready to make accusations, questioning your own standing and profession upon the grounds of what you are, seen in all filthy garments. How can there be any hope for such a vile, sinful wretch? Satan knows how to arrest the word of truth and to try and use it to his own end. But the Lord rebuked. The Lord rebuked thee, O Satan. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire? So, what now can be said? Sovereign, electing, love and grace. Who can then testify against that? We find the apostle so strongly sets forth the argument, and it cannot be gainsaid by men or devils or any such. It is the word of God. So we have this. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So we see a poor pleading sinner, pleading that he might receive that pardon for his sin. And we see our high priest in heaven itself making that intercession for us. And who can lay any charge against God's elect? But to return to Joshua, what was the command? Take away the filthy garments. Not all the washing that we may do will remove the filth of our sin, but he can remove the filthy garments in an instant and robe us in those, in that garment, which is all holy, without seam, and all complete. Well, it's the work of God, isn't it? And he who does perform these things, he that hath begun will perform. And it is the working out of this in our experience through the days of our life here. But you might say, how is it worked out? What will we have to pass through to realise these things? Well, it is in knowing that that work which he has purposed in the bringing of his many sons to glory. There will be trials. There will be tribulations. There will be oppositions. There will be temptations. There will be the times when we prove that we cannot keep ourselves, when we may fall, but not utterly, when we may be cast down, but not in utter despair, when we are brought to fear the worst, and yet to prove the faithfulness of God. And so he that begins that good work, he performs it. He may permit Satan to come and trouble you, as he did Job. But what could Job say? The righteous shall hold on his way. And it may be said that Job, he held on his way, not by any means of his own. No. He would have been brought utterly to nothing had he not known that upholding hand of his God. And had he not been able to consider, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. He had none other in which to cast his care. Job had to commit his way unto the Lord in the vexation of his own soul. But he did not falter. He held on his way. So it will be. You may pass through some of the darkest scenes. You may have to go into the deepest of depths. It's all the Lord's appointment, you know. It is after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, strengthen, settle you. You may wonder why he may hide his face. To what end is that so? Well, our opening hymn, based upon that 54th chapter of Isaiah, it gives us an answer. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy upon thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. You see, this is what is said over against all your troubles, which are but finite. Yes, they are but for a time. They cannot be more than for a time. But it's his everlasting kindness. Let's put it another way. We know the sinfulness of our old nature, and sin seems to abound. But this is what the answer is. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Where would we be without superabounding grace? But it abounds over all the sins that we may be subject to. If it was not so, then we would be of all creatures most miserable. But it's this superabounding grace. And this is the reason that we shall prevail at last. It is spoken of Gad, a troop shall overcome him. And God be destroyed and brought to nothing, and all his men be dead, so to speak, a tribe removed out of Israel, there shall not be anyone left. A troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. And so with each particular child of God, he will prove that as God overcame, so shall he overcome. But by what means? Through whom? By whom shall Jacob now arise? For Jacob's men are small or few. And what may take us by surprise, they seem divided too. But by whom shall Jacob now rise? By whom? Well, it is through Christ that we are more than conquerors. We shall never find that we can fight the battle in our own strength. And yet we are called to be soldiers with a captain who leads us forth and is able to order the battle so that victory is gained. There will not be one soul who will be like those as described in the 68th Psalm, I must just look it up and read it to you, where it says, "This kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil." And before then after that it said, "When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow as Salmon." And I understand that the figure there is that those kings that went forth in their white robes and slaughtered there, they were seen as white as snow in Salmon, but overcome. By whom? The Almighty. But those that laid among the pots, those that feared that they would be brought to nothing, they would be as the wings of a dove, covered with a silver, and her feathers as yellow gold. Now, you may perhaps felt that you've come to the bottom of everything. And yet, this is the Lord's work. It is that you may prevail and overcome and stand at last. And he that hath begun a good work will perform it. You will therefore prove that all your enemies they must be brought to nothing. We read in that psalm how that the psalmist saw and believed that those enemies would all come to nothing. The wicked, what place do they have? We may see them like the bay tree spreading their branches, but they would all be cut down. Solemn, isn't it? But it's a blessed thing when the righteous are delivered. And the righteous shall hold on his way. But now I must come to another point, and that is this. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. There is much that needs to be dealt with. You have much dross. You need the chastening hand of the Lord. But it's all according to his love. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous nevertheless afterward. It yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. But it is at these times that you may feel that the Lord's hand is against you. But what does the apostle say with regard to that? He says, ye have forgotten that word that speaks concerning sons, not reprobates, not bastards, but sons. It is spoken to. And so he would remind those Hebrews of that word when he says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Every son. That means that we all need correction. We all need to be taught in the way of truth and righteousness. Because by nature, we would rather walk in the way of a lie. We need to be straightened, as the apostle speaks, in our own bowels. We need there the work of God to be performed. And when God is doing his work, when we are in the fires, when we are walking through the waters, and they seem to overflow us, then we may say, and can I truly be one of his dear children? And is this how it is with those? And must it, Lord, be so? And must thy people bear such various kinds of woe, such sore distress and fear? Is this the lot of God's elect? Or can it be? The Lord, he has a purpose that we might be brought to something very special. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. And now, what do we find the apostle writing a little later in this epistle to the Philippians? He says that I might know him, the power of his resurrection. Well, if we are to know the power of his resurrection, We will know the times when we need to be raised up, lifted up, out of that dust. To know the quickening power that we have through the Word. But to know the power of His resurrection and to have fellowship with him in His sufferings. Fellowship. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. His work was to suffer for our sakes. Shall we then not find there is the path of suffering for His name's sake? It will be not something that we put ourselves into, but the Lord Himself will cause us to suffer with Him in a small measure. Each must have their cross to bear, exposed unto those ravages which will prove the reality rather than prove that there is nothing. It proves the reality. That is how something is tested, by putting it under the pressure or under the strain, so that it may prove how strong it is. It may not look very strong, but the strength is proved by what may assail and what may trouble. And if there are these strong winds of adversity, and still we stand, then he that hath begun a good work will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And our standing is not in ourselves, but it is in Christ, and in Christ alone. We have to prove, therefore, that these contrary things, they come to prove. To prove what God is to you personally, to prove what God has done in you and for you, to prove that still He will perform His work. Not wind, not storm, not tide, nor anything can overthrow the work of God. And who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, or distress, or these are things which seem to sometimes come against us, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Remember that. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You see, not one thing can snatch us out of the hand of the Father. Not one thing can remove us out of the love of Christ. Not one thing can prevent us from entering into the place prepared the mansion. When our Lord said to those disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid," he knew what was before them. He knew what they would have to suffer. He knew the trials that they would have to pass through. He knew how very shortly they would be mourning because they had taken away their Lord, seen him crucified, laid in the tomb, and now it was empty. Oh, the distress of heart. Oh, how sorrow filled their soul. Now there were those two which we read of as they went their way. They were sad. And the stranger that drew near and walked with them, it did not seem as though he could cheer them up, though he spoke of those things concerning himself. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Ought not he to have suffered them? But when he broke the bread before them, they knew it was he. They knew that it was their Lord and Saviour risen. And so they could return with joy and say, "He is risen." Dear friends, you walk in the path. You feel bereft. The devil roars, he's dead. But no, he is alive. "I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive again." What is desired and needful is this, that he will show himself as that living bread, and as the bread may be meat and drink, restoring, strengthening to your faith, to see that it is him, and to know the rising power within your own heart. Well, he that hath begun will perform, and he will perform that good work right to the end. There is that beginning, there is that continuing, there is the end, or the completion, perhaps we should say. It is not an end, is it? Not when Jesus comes, not when he receives you unto himself, not when he gathers you up unto the realms of the blessed. It will not be the end when he comes that second time without sin unto salvation, to raise those who are there asleep, as the term is in the scripture. We would say they're dead. They are, as far as their body is concerned, but it is for a time. Therefore, it is as though asleep. And he will come and quicken them and raise them up. And now he that hath begun a good work will perform it unto that day of Jesus Christ, when he in the first place may come and gather as he does his precious plants, his lilies from the garden. He gathers them. their souls enter into his presence. They know the joy of their Lord. There they may rejoice through all the ages of eternity. But their earthly remains are placed for the time now present into the ground, into the grave, but in hope of a glorious resurrection till he come. Now this is the conclusion of the work. We see that work when the Lord would, or when the Father would send his own dear Son to send him into this world. And he who would work that redemption, and having completed that work and have saved his dear people from their sins and wrought out a righteousness for them, and made that way of access, not only that they may have it by prayer, but also when the time comes, they may have that access into heaven itself and enter there, and the time will be all fulfilled and complete when he comes that second time. And then all his gather together, and there will be no more sun to go down, no more sea to divide, and therefore no more sin. There will be no more darkness or night. There will be no more troubles and trials and vexations. But there we will know the fullness of all things. There shall we see his face and never, never sin. There, from the riches of his grace, rivers of his grace, drink endless pleasures in. Well, we cannot describe only those that have penned some of those very precious words. Give us a little view, a little sight, as based upon the precious word of God. But we cannot tell what it will be like to be there. But we know this, that he that hath begun that good work will perform that good work of his grace, and it will be to the day of Jesus Christ. However you may wish to consider that day, in the way that we have put it over to you. But oh, what a day. Well, as sure as he himself is there, so every one of his people will be there. Not one can be left behind. Can the body of Christ be missing any member? No. But it is to be complete in him. He makes each individual to be complete according to his grace and his own precious righteousness that he has bequeathed, that holy, blessed obedience which he worked out for his dear people. that they may not be found naked. When this, their earthly tabernacle, is dissolved, they will know they have a building eternal in the heavens, and that they can therefore be in his presence without any fear, clothed upon that mortality may be swallowed up of life. That is the blessing of this work, God's work, from beginning to end. And you may thank the Lord that it won't have your hand upon it. We may have those precepts. Blessed are those things that exhort us unto right things. Oh, may it be our desire, if the Lord has wrought love in your soul to him, you will want to follow him. You will desire to be like him. You will prove, though in yourself you fail, but he can make up. Oh, with his constraining love. What a mercy it is that it's constraining. It will then cause you to run. And you know I love that word of the psalmist. I will run in the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. The time of his enlarging will cause us to run. There won't be any antinomians in heaven, you know. There won't be those who will say, oh well, it doesn't matter how I live. I can do as I like, as I list. We're just saved by the precious blood of Christ. If the precious blood of Christ has saved your soul, then you must consider the cost of it. And the awfulness of us continuing in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. But he that will make you run, run in those ways, they will then be delightful ways. The law written upon and in your heart. No longer that which is written upon stone, but written in your heart. That makes you willing. Willing in the day of Christ's power upon your soul. And he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. For my time has gone, the Lord pardon anything amiss, and bless these scattered remarks.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £625, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Hyde. Mr. Fred Ince is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and God willing, Dr. Sadler next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 1028. Come hither, ye by sin distressed, and hear the Saviour's faithful word. Soon ye shall enter into rest, and know that he's your conquering Lord. 1028.
dear Lord, do grant that that may be an encouragement to some poor sinners to venture on Thee, venture wholly, and let no other trust intrude. Lord, we do desire that we might have that sweet confidence and believe that Thou who dost begin dost continue to the end. Not one can fall short, but must persevere, be found at last with their dear Jesus. May this therefore be our sweet hope, and may our expectation, yea, we believe it shall be so, it must be so, that it shall not be cut off. Now take us each to our homes in peace and safety. Grant us the blessings of another night. May we be restored and renewed for all that is before us in the days ahead. So do have mercy, we pray. Pardon us of every sin. We ask it for Christ's sake, and may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide evermore. Amen.